Welcome to the 62nd episode of the Parents Initiative Podcast. This is your host, Leo Colon, and I have our co-host, Rebecca, with us.
Hey, 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 everyone.
We want to congratulate you for taking the time to listen because you're saying parenting is important to you. You want to do the best you can to equip yourself. And that's our goal here, is to equip you, to encourage you, to challenge you, that when you finish listening to this podcast, that you leave better and empowered. So today, I want to go ahead and dive right into this episode because we have a special guest joining us.
Yeah.
I was connected with Darnell through a mutual friend through Facebook, and then we had a chat about some other things, and we just had a great conversation, and I started learning a little bit more about him, and I was intrigued, loved the way he just communicated and shared his heart, and he is Darnell Weathersby. He is a husband, father, coach, speaker, assistant principal of a high school, leader of a movement, and author. So I'm not sure if I covered everything, Darnell. Maybe there's some things you could enlighten us with.
You got me looking pretty special right about now, so I feel good about it.
And if you can't see him right now, he's looking super fly in a bow tie.
Bow tie Tuesday.
Love it. Love it. You know, you dress for the success. You know, you show up how you want to be received. So I love
it. Amen. All about leading by example. So.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about your wife? You also have some kids. Can you let our audience know a little bit more about that side of you?
Yeah. So I have the honor of being married to my beautiful queen, Charnell Weathersby. We make 16 years in June, so she's been putting up with your boy for a little while. I have two beautiful children. My princess is 10, and my spitting image of myself is 6, so there's never a dull moment in the Weathersby household. And of all the titles and hats I get to wear, the hats of husband and father definitely rank as top priority, so definitely blessed and honored that God can use a broken vessel like myself to show the world what his grace can look like in the context of marriage and fatherhood and parenting.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the cool things about having you on our podcast is you come from a different sphere of life. You have a different kind of influence. And I haven't really had a chance to like dive into your history. So you're an assistant principal in a high school. Were you first a teacher? How did that kind of transpire?
So this is year 18 for me in education. First 7 years, I was an algebra teacher, go math teachers. And then for the last 11 years, I've been in administration, both at the assistant principal and principal level. So I've been blessed to be at my current role at Plainfield North High School for the last 5 years with a phenomenal administrative team, phenomenal students. And as we're navigating leading during a pandemic, being an educator and an administrator is challenging in a normal year. And then you throw a pandemic on top of it. It is nothing but the grace of God that any of us are still sane. But by his grace, we're having a phenomenal year. We're getting ready for graduation here next month, and excited to see the class of 2021 float off and inspire to do great things as they leave our school. So
you have the aspect of being a teacher.
Yes.
Dealing with students. So what age grades were you primarily working with?
So majority of my educational experience has been 6 through 12. So all my classroom years were 6 through 9. And then I've been an administrator at both a K-8 building and then at the high school level. So I've been able to do the whole gambit of education, definitely.
So I think, you know, for me, being involved with students as much as you, I think you, it's easy to have influence prior to middle school, and then you really got to earn it.
Yes.
In high school, you could easily speak life into a younger kid and they'll get it. So I know that for you to be a teacher teaching that grade, that had to be to have his challenges, and coming from it as an administrator. So I love that we're having you on, because we always give a spiritual perspective or a pastoral perspective. So what kind of perspective can you give us from an administrator? Because we were talking about this before. You know, I think kids have a tendency to really show their true colors outside the home. and act a little different when they're home. So what do you see in this generation? What are some things that I would say, let's first start with what concerns you about this generation?
Well, I think this generation has access to more than any generation before. You talk about technology. My kids know how to work a Zoom meeting better than any of us do, you know? So like they have access to more than we ever could have dreamed of at that age. But at the same time, I think what scares me is they think all this access is normal because they haven't seen the journey of humanity and how we got to this point. So, you know, talking about life without a cell phone, they can't even fathom it. Life without, you know, different things that just have become a staple in their life. So when you've been given so much and you don't necessarily know life without it, my prayer for them and my concern for them is their ability to persevere. And this pandemic has showed a lot as far as how they can cope in the midst of hardship. How can they cope in the midst of adversity when they have had limited opportunities to do so? I know for myself, even as a parent, and I deal with parents, and I always say, education is a partnership opportunity. The school district and the school building partners with the parent so that we can both come alongside together and work to make sure that young man or young lady reaches their fullest potential. But at the same time, with this pandemic, what has hurt is that connection, that face-to-face, that partnership that, you know, Ms. Johnson, can you please get up here so we can talk about what your child just did? So there's like a lot of the support systems have been removed, and now there's a lot of isolation, a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression, because they're not able to navigate the world like they did previously. So whereas I am, that does concern me both as a parent and as an educator, I'm encouraged to see the resiliency of this generation that I didn't know was in them before.
Mm-hmm. And then obviously the pandemic has made that even more transparent.
Yes.
Like what would you know, for that parent listening, and maybe they see their kid dealing with the anxiety, maybe they see the misconnection, what, you know, from your perspective, what kind of advice would you give them to kind of help alleviate that?
Yeah, giving them a safe place to just be truthful. A lot of times as parents, we want to protect them, we want to shield them, and we want to dismiss all negativity away. But during this pandemic, we have to be mature enough as parents to allow them to speak how they truly feel and not take it personally.
Right.
So their depression isn't our mishap. The anxiety isn't our mistake. Some of this stuff you can't protect your child from, but you can walk through this with them and partner with them and pray over them and encourage them, even as you encourage yourself. So I think it's part of that thing to say, I can't protect my child from all of this, but I can be a listening ear. I can be a safe place so that when they go out into the world, it's hectic enough. But when they come home, do they have that safe place to just say, "Ooh, today was rough, mom and dad.
Right.
Today did not go well." And be okay. So many times in this generation, I know a lot of young parents, they want to protect and protect, but you're cheating your child. You're cheating them from the opportunity to get scrapes and get bruises and get wounded. And a lot of times as you know, as parents, that's the way God works in and through you to minister to them, is walking with them through the trial, through the tribulation, not trying to protect them from it all.
Or fix it for them, you know, and I would say even at this point is when they do, you know, give their truth and they are honest, that we acknowledge that it's real.
Definitely.
And not dismiss it as, oh, it's just this. No,
right.
Really hearing them out and meeting them where they are, because they'll stop coming to you.
Yes, they will.
And they'll go to somewhere, and usually it's not a good place.
Correct.
To be honest and vulnerable.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Now, throughout the years of you teaching, you said you've been involved over almost 18 years now.
Yeah.
If you go back to when you first started teaching to now, I mean, what are some of the biggest shifts that you've seen besides social media? What are some things that, what are some other things that you're aware of even more today?
Wow. So I think, that's a good question. Let me just ponder that for a moment. But I think what first comes to mind is, I want to say the breakdown of this extended family, but a lot of our, for example, I grew up on the west side of Chicago, born and raised Lane Tech High School. And then, you know, by the grace of God, you know, now we live in the suburbs. Right. So I've seen the shift myself, as in living environment, access to education, things like that. So, but once again, I grew up very much connected to my extended family, my uncles, my aunts, my grandmother, my cousins were a staple in my life. Mm-hmm. But now, as families are blessed and kind of relocate to different areas, that extended piece isn't always there. So something I thought was the natural progression, now I look at my students and they don't have access. They don't see family as frequently. And I didn't always appreciate the value of it when I first started teaching, but now I have kids myself. And in this season of my career and in my life, I'm like, wow, that is a invaluable asset that not every kid gets to enjoy.
Right.
So I think when we talk about success in school, it's because, you know, it's that village is in place.
Right.
So you see the village in place for some kids, but then you see it, the gaping missing piece of it in other situations. You're like, man, they're missing out on the wisdom of their elders. They're missing out on the community of loved ones to come alongside of them, knock them upside the head, whatever needs to be done. Or like you said, you know, who else can be that safe place if mom and dad aren't in this season? And I know for me, I spend many hours sitting up under my grandmother, just gaining wisdom and gaining insight. And not every kid gets to enjoy that now, because grandma may be an hour away or a city away, you know? So that's, my heart goes out for people who don't get to benefit from the village that I took. Just, I just thought it was always the way it's supposed to be, so.
Yeah, there's no spanking like a grandma spanking.
No question. No question.
That ain't spanking, that's a whooping.
Yes. Come on now. Come on. True story. True story.
But like for us, like, you know, I think growing, you know, doing youth ministry for so many years, you know, I noticed a shift in the priority.
Yeah.
Home, you know, allowing their kids more flexibility to do other things, not church be a priority. You know, another shift that I saw was, and you kind of briefly talked about this, and I kind of want to hit on this just on this too, is parents fighting their battles for their kids.
Yes.
You know, so as an administrator, you have, listen, I want you to feel free.
And I'm over discipline. Let's be clear. That is what I do. So
I want you to feel free, because I want our audience to know, those that are listening, we probably have an average of 500 people that listen to this podcast.
Okay.
And, but I want them to know, you know, from your perspective, what are some of the things that, some challenges that you have to deal with parents?
Yes.
And, you know, what are those, some of those challenges? And then we'll go another direction with that.
Right. So I think the biggest thing is just, I always say parents come into every meeting, every conversation with their own experiences in education. So if they were a great student, then they trust the system. If they were not such a great student, they have apprehension about, do you have my child's best interests in mind? Mm-hmm. So I think part of that is just gaining the trust of parents. One of the best things I ever get to experience is, so I've been in education long enough where I've had a chance to teach siblings. So, you know, and then of course, you know, mom has always been a staple, dad has been a staple, but I love having conversations where if you get out of line, Weathersby, you know what to do. And I say, yes, ma'am, I know what to do. So then I'll see the kid in the hallway and say, remember what your mama said? You know what your mama said? Yes, Mr. Weathersby. Sure, Mr. Weathersby. You know, so I think it's little things like that, when you do get the trust of the community, when you do get the trust of parents, it flows seamlessly. But every family is different. Every family is sometimes quicker or more apprehensive to give that trust and trust that you care about their child. Even when, for example, if I have to give a disciplinary consequence, I always say, whether it's a 5.0 kid or the kid who's flunking all their classes, every kid's going to be a kid at some point.
Yeah.
Every kid's going to do something stupid at some point. And I want to hold you accountable for your behavior, but not destroy who you are as a person. They're two different things.
Right.
You may have gotten to a fight and you have to be at home for 10 days. When you come back, we're going to still accept you with loving arms and we're going to get you where you need to be. But because I care about you, I got to hold you accountable. And I think when parents understand I'm doing that out of a spirit of compassion and love, they may not be in agreement, but they know that I have their child's best interests in mind. And they know that I'm not going to look differently on their child because of the consequence that was given. So when that's working and it's healthy and it's a mutually beneficial, you know, opportunity between administration and educator and parent, it's a masterpiece. It's artwork in motion. So
I love definitely. It. I reference a little bit what you said in the beginning, that it's a partnership.
Yes.
You know, and just like a marriage, if they know that they can divide you.
Oh, yes.
They're going to divide. But if you can come as a united front and have each other's back, then the student is going to succeed and excel.
Yes. Agree wholeheartedly.
And I think, you know, that goes into, you know, one of the things that we want to hit on. I think, man, just hearing your heart, mm-hmm. like, I know you love what you do.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, and I see that. And just the way you communicated and the way that you just very fluent and just, I know it's coming from the heart.
And we know our audience can hear your smile, right?
Yes.
That's a good thing.
You can hear a smile.
And I think it would be safe to say that you have that approach because of your upbringing.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, you were raised by a single mom.
Yes.
You're the second oldest of 8 kids. Tell us,
yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah.
So I always tell people I am the product of a mom who is crazy enough to do whatever was necessary to make sure her, you know, 5 boys and 3 girls. And I always say, we didn't fear the gangs, we feared her. She was Madea before Madea. She was not having it. Her boys were not going to jail and her boys were not joining gangs. It wasn't even an option. But once again, one thing I love and I value more and more with each passing day is she understood I can only do so much.
Yeah.
I need help. So the local church, I always say, you know, I got saved at the age of 8 and I'm a product of the men of the church.
Yeah.
I am who I am because of youth pastors and deacons and church leaders who said, we see a glimmer of something. We don't quite know what it is. But this kid just keeps sticking around. For Bible studies, he's here. For youth group, he's here. For church service, he's here. And we're just going to keep pouring into him. We're going to keep dropping seeds obediently. And I'm a product because they were obedient. And I think part of my passion for being an educator and a minister and a mentor is they always say, you owe us nothing but to replicate the process. So I'm a living embodiment of men stepping in and filling that void in my life and making sure that I had godly examples of being a husband, godly examples of being a father, though not in my home, in my immediate opportunity to reach out and touch them and glean wisdom from them and cry tears on their shoulders when life kind of hit me in the mouth and I didn't know what to do, I at least knew where to turn.
Yeah.
So I am definitely an example of, once again, a mother who loved me and cared enough to do all she could, but knew where to get the reinforcements from. So,
yeah, I love that. You know, you emphasize the fact that you, I guess I would assume that your mom made church a priority.
Oh, and it's funny because though early on, she didn't even go herself, she made sure, or she willingly allowed us to.
Mm-hmm.
And then over the years, once again, through God's faithfulness, as I continued to go, The first sermon I ever preached, she came to Christ. So God has a way just of blowing your mind when he's behind the scenes working his magic for his glory, you know? So I'm a testament of, I'm not going, but you can go. Okay, you're going and you're faithful and you're consistent. What is this all about? And then she gives her life to Christ because God continued to work in and through me to be that example, both in the home and outside the home. So
that's good.
Yeah,
I love that, because we, and with Parents Initiative, we always say that, you know, the student plays a huge role.
Yes.
Responsibility. And I love that, Darnell, that you're a prime example of a student taking responsibility for where he was and not shunning the church, but embracing what was
definitely open.
And that open door you stepped in. You
Amen.
Know,
it's huge. Amen.
It's huge.
So you know, you were discipled by men in the church. You
yes.
had people that became father figures in your life with not being raised with your father in the home.
Right.
Like, obviously that played a huge role. Now I believe that you're one that has that mentality as a principal, assistant principal, that you in some ways take that persona, that you are a father figure to your
Oh, student. No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
And so how do you make that an intention, like you're intentional about that? How do you go about that every single day?
I think the awesome part is, you know, because I live in the community in which I work, so they get to see me both in the building and outside the building. A lot of them follow me on social media. So like, they're like, well, this be a great video you posted yesterday. It's crazy the overlap, but it's so encouraging to see that they see the consistency, not the perfection, but the consistency. So they see me on social media, but then they see me at Walmart with my family, you know, and the kids are funny. Like, you actually are alive outside of the building, you know? So like, they trip out and the parents are like, let the man just go shop, you know? So, but I think it's awesome because they see me at church, they see me worshiping, they see me praising God. And yet I'm the same guy on Monday morning that they saw on Sunday morning. So I think I don't boast in that, but I'm grateful for how God has allowed that to be an ongoing testimony to them. So for the young man who's growing up without a father, he gets to see glimpses of me being a husband and being a father and actually thriving and enjoying the process. It's not a ball and chain. It's not I'm married and life is over. He actually is enjoying this. He actually loves his wife. If you say Charnell too many times, his smile gets bigger and bigger. You know, he enjoys being a father to his kids. And it's just evident. It's just tangible. It's real and authentic. And I'm just blessed to be the conduit, if you will, that God is using to show a whole generation marriage isn't played out. Fatherhood isn't played out. It's the best thing ever. If you lean on God and trust God and allow him to work in and through your household. So do we have a perfect marriage? Of course not. But God is using our marriage to touch a lot of people. And God is using our example as parents to inspire a whole generation to say, maybe I won't give up on the concept of marriage. Maybe I won't give up on the concept of being a godly husband or a godly mother. Because the Weathersby's got something going on over there, and I want to definitely see how this plays out for me because of what I see in them.
Yeah.
So your main goal is just to be better every single day and show up to the world.
Yeah, I mean, that's at the end of the day, I know it, I call it, you know, education is my mission field. By the grace of God, as an African-American male administrator, I'm the first ever African-American administrator in the history of my current school's history.
Wow.
So I understand every day I come to work, not only do I carry my mantle as a godly man, but as a Black man.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, given the world we live in, that is all many times a tainted perception. Yeah. Black men aren't faithful. Black men aren't committed. Black men aren't faithful fathers and husbands. And then I come in and just blow up the whole stereotype. And they're like, oh, So I have the media perception, but I get to see Weathersby every day. Mm-hmm. And I get to see what the media is not showing me. I get to see what movies aren't showing me. And I like the way it looks on Tuesdays with his bow tie on. You know, I get to see someone who really, like you say, loves what he loves what he's doing. He's enthusiastic about what he's doing. And he truly sees it as ministry. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think the kids feel that, the teachers get that. And just trying to create a safe environment for teachers and staff and students to thrive in is what I feel I've been called to do on a daily basis.
And I love that. He's living out what, you know, we really stand behind, because we're firm believers, and our audience knows this, that, you know, the church has a responsibility, parents have responsibility, and the student has a responsibility. And you, Darnell, you're representing the church.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, we all play a role as a parent, whether, you know, obviously you can't discipline other people's kids the way you would discipline yours.
True story. Yes. You know,
but you're showing the love and you do speak life. And I'm sure you have that, yes, those firm moments as well. And that's
yes. Awesome. No, so thank you.
You are also an author.
Yes. Yes.
The book is called Journey to Fatherhood. Can you kind of give us some key points about that?
Yeah. So July 2010, once again, being a single parent product, find out we're expecting, and I'm both filled with joy and anxiety all at the same time. Because I'm like, I'm going to be a godly husband. I want to be a godly father. We have been married 5 years prior to, you know, finding out this great news. But I'm like, Lord, I have no idea what this process looks like. So for 9 months, I just journaled every day, you know, during our pregnancy. And I'm like, Lord, here are my fears, here are my prayers. Here's my moments of excitement as you answer prayer. And then it was just meant to be a gift to my daughter when she got married and when she went to college. And the Spirit of God just kept saying, there are millions of young men like you who don't have a template either. And you're going to share your journey so that they have something to refer to. So it's literally 9 months of journal entries. That's my book. You hear my heart, you hear my passion, you hear my cries for help and wisdom in that book. And the cool thing about it is, because it published in 2013. So over the last 7-8 years, men from all over the country and in different countries around the world have not only read my book, but as they've read my book, at the end of each trimester, there are discussion questions, reflection questions. So now I always challenge men, as you read my journey, document your own. So now 9 months later, men are saying, you know what? I journaled every day for 9 months. I now have a gift to give my children and show my grandchildren, because you were obedient to write yours down. Now my family will be changed for generations to come. So that's the awesome part about it, is each man is able to make it their own. And my story is just a reference point by which they can get started. So it's definitely been a blessing, just once again, to encourage men to be proactive in fatherhood. A lot of times we're passive and it looks like we're just being dragged along, but no, we can be very active participants, you know, as we come along our wives or our significant others and help them during that significant 9-month process, so that when that baby does come, it's coming, it's being born into the most supportive environment possible. So
I felt this in my heart and I just wanted to share this with you. You are really literally shifting legacies.
Amen. Amen.
You really are. And I just felt that drop into my heart. I'm getting emotional over here because that is exactly what you're doing. You've shifted your own.
Amen.
And you're out there on a mission. And it's not a selfish mission at all. It's one really giving and sowing seeds, and you're going to see a harvest in many ways that you have never thought or imagined, you know.
Wow.
I don't even think you realize the impact that you're making in the world. You're going to see a wave of harvest in your life in
many facets.
And I just feel like I needed to share that with you.
Woo. Oh, thank you for that. I receive all of that.
you thought you were just going to be ministering here, but you got ministered too.
Hey, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about.
Right. I love that you said being proactive, right? Yeah. And just showing up every single day. So, you know, not having a father figure in your life. Maybe there are some fathers that are listening that are newly fathers and they're in the same boat. So besides being proactive, what are some other things that you can speak into them right now as they're listening?
I always say you are as strong as the men you keep around you.
That's good.
So as a young dad, sometimes we fall into the illusion that, hey, we have to have it all figured out already and that nobody understands what we're really feeling. And as men, we don't talk to people very often anyway. So I try to encourage a spirit of accountability. I have friends that have been in my circle for the last 20, 25 years, and we just have done life together from one season to the next, from broke college students to singles to seriously dating to, oh, I think I'm about to marry her. And now, you know, we all got kids and families, but I am where I am today because I kept that circle. So I think when we talk to the young father, just giving a word of encouragement to say, you can make it, you can be successful, but you will not be successful in isolation. Isolation will be the thing that destroys both you and your household and your marriage, because Satan wants you isolated. Satan wants you by yourself so he can pick you off and destroy your marriage, destroy your household. But when you keep that circle of influence, when you keep that accountability, people asking you the tough questions, but also will flip it and turn around and pray for you and fast for you and believe God for you when you can't believe God for yourself. I think that's what every young husband and young father needs desperately.
You know, and it's cool. It's funny because I was just thinking about how, you know, someone listening to this and can't see Darnell, they'll see the picture on social media, but you know, you are a young 40. You just turned 40.
Man, I crossed over, Doc.
We all recently crossed over. So we're all, we're.
Oh, right. I know.
But the reason I say that is because, man, you're so full of wisdom.
Yeah.
Mm. I love it. You know, and that, you know, when you speak to someone of your caliber, you know, you have that intent. You know, that you're wanting to grow, you want to become a better person every single day.
And yeah, you show up and you do the work to be.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. And once again, no, I always say, once again, my wife says, oh, you've had an old soul since the day I met you. But once again, I'm the product of always being around grown men.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, all my mentors were grown. So like, I've always been the youngest guy in the room. So like now my job is just to let go all of that that's been poured into me, you know? So I always say you need someone who's mentoring you, someone to do life with, and someone you are mentoring. Mm-hmm. I think for example, in particular, every man, if they don't have that three levels of mentorship in place, you can easily become stagnant.
Yeah.
But if you're getting, if you're sharing and if you're giving, then that's when life truly becomes joyful because you're getting what you need and you're also giving out what's been invested into you. So as Paul said, you know, those who find someone you can entrust this gospel to, this message to, who's trustworthy. So I always try to be on the lookout for young men who want it. You know, I don't want to waste my time just randomly giving to any old body, but when I see young men who are apprehensive or fearful, I know what that feels like. I'll never allow myself to be that far removed that I feel like, oh, I'm here and I'll never understand what it means to be fearful. You know, even in the season of my life, new levels require new levels of faith and new levels of prayer and new levels of God. I've never seen this before, but I'm going to trust you just like I was when I didn't have anything. You know, so I think just keeping that broken, humble spirit, not false humility, but a confidence that says, this is only going to keep going if you do it, God.
Yeah.
You've brought me to this point, and whatever else you have for me would only occur in my life and in my family and in the ministry you've given me if I keep you first and if I stay broken before you, so.
Well, Darnell's been good conversation, man. And listen,
we could talk all day.
Yeah,
definitely.
Darnell, you know, some of you are all thinking, I mean, he must have a lot going on, but he has another hat that he wears.
Yes.
And then you have a ministry called Lead One. Can you tell the audience about that?
Right. So let me start off by saying our website is theleadonemovement.com. Our YouTube channel is Lead One Movement. You can follow us at Lead One LLC. But the Lead One Movement is all about empowering individuals to maximize their sphere of influence. I have different titles I wear, and I have different levels of influence as a result. But we all have a sphere of influence. People you come in contact with, I may never meet. But if you're walking in faithfulness and you're walking in your sphere of influence, you're doing what God has called you to do with the people he's called you to touch. And a lot of times, society will tell you, wait till you have a degree, wait till you have a title to do ministry. And I'm a firm believer, start doing ministry and the titles and degrees will take care of themselves. God will elevate you based upon your level of faithfulness and obedience. So let's start being faithful. Let's start being obedient and watch what God wants to do in and through our lives. So whether you're in the private sector, the business sector, regardless of what sphere you're in, my wife and I came together in 2013 because we would always speak at conferences and different things. And we said, why not bet on us? Why not start a movement of how you're using us? And if we can maximize our sphere of influence and train others to do the same, then it's a win-win for the kingdom. So that's how Lead One started. As a result, once again, my wife has a passion to touch the lives of women business owners. She's a women business owner. She's just started her company called Sew Me Brand Strategy. And you can follow her at sewmebrandstrategy.com. She's coming around women just like I have a passion for men. She's encouraging them to walk in their fullness as wives, as mothers, as business owners, as CEOs. Once again, whatever sphere you have, how can we equip you to walk in the fullness of that? So that's definitely our heart's desire.
Now, are you on Facebook and Instagram?
Yes. Okay. Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Sew Me Brand Strategy is on all those. Lead One is on all those. So Lead One LLC on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Rebecca, do you have anything?
No, we're going to get those links so we can add them in the show notes, right?
Yes, we will.
Perfect.
Yes.
So we're just honored to have you part of this community. Thank you for adding value today. And I look forward to doing some more life with you. And I looked up your wife before earlier this morning. I'm like, I like this lady. I love her hair.
Yes.
Style. And so I sent her a request for a friendship. I was like, I like her.
Yes, yes. From one queen to another.
Yeah.
Well, before we let you go, Darnell, do you have anything else that you would like to add or say?
I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to share my heart. But thank you for being obedient to what God has called the two of you to do and inspire and have your podcast. You're being obedient in your season and on this platform. And the fact that God didn't mistakenly bring us together, but he ordained for us to come together for prayerfully many ministry opportunities in the future. I'm just excited to always meet new people and see what God is up to. So thank you again for having me.
Absolutely. We appreciate you having on. So if you can, rate this episode, review it, share it, join our community on Facebook and Instagram, and invite others to come along.
Would you like Parents Initiative presented in your church, your Bible study, or an event that you're hosting, or even an online event? Be sure to contact us through our website and social media pages. The links are found in the show notes.
Until next time.